Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A bodyguard, your Spanish is good enough.
You're crazy.
You even look the part.
My state, I couldn't go out of course.
It's rich guys flashing their cash. It's all for show. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah? You think they'd hire a drunk, a has-been?
You have to keep it under control.
And what if there was, you know, just say a kidnapping attempt? What do I do then?
You do your best. They're not going to be paying you enough to perform miracles.
And tuck it up their rectum.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 617. I'm Scott Johnson. Joined today by Brian. They love it when he fires his gun at a Mexican rave Dunaway.
Oh, they start dancing. And it's like, let's take it to the street.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, man, are we on fire when we track down this action thriller story of hope, love, revenge, and redemption from 2004, starring a young Fanning in a too small for his fancy suit Denzel Washington, and film like a Tool music video from the 90s set south of the border. Am I having a stroke? Like I'm having a stroke. No, it's just the religious themes, alcohol, blood loss, and Christopher Walken's bedside Nokia phone collection. Hey, honey, he's back. Listen, buddy. We don't swim in your toilet, so don't bleed in our pool. Anywho, movie slideshow fact time. In 2004, there was one kidnapping every 60 minutes in Latin America. Hey, movie, 60 minutes is an hour. Just say one every hour. 70% of the victims do not survive, and 30% end up on the side of the road crying about it. And 100% do not die in this movie. Yep, knowledge is power. Knowing is half the battle. The more you know, don't do drugs. Randy? You think God will forgive us for what we've done? No, that's fine. I wasn't planning on dying anyway.
Wow. Top shelf once again. Very well done.
Up on the top shelf, baby.
Yeah, nicely done. Also with us, Randy, I know you took my fingers, but thank you for at least cauterizing them, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Brian.
Randy.
Thank you for coming to Mexico to try out for this job, and thank you for happening to be both a former commando and a fluent Spanish speaker, while also being inexpensive. Weird. It's like you're straight out of a soap opera. Anyway, I'm the middle-aged guy who I guess is almost the comic relief around here, and it's my job to tell other people what a badass you are later. First, you need to prepare to be the bodyguard, walking tall, Batman, Darkman, True Grit, Punisher. And you're going to get there by following my three rules for men on fire. Number one, start out gruff. Like, so gruff that no one would ever want to work with you, much less just, like, instantaneously give you their child. Why? Number two. Melt that ice, especially with any women you can find. Talk to the mom. Talk to the first nun you see. You can't seek revenge later if you don't make everybody love you soon. Number three, when you get the chance to kill like 10 different people, you are required to kill them all differently. You're like a cartoon villain, but not one of those cartoons where they reuse the same loop over and over. No, no, no. You're the kind of cartoon villain who sticks a bomb right up the ass.
Oh. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right up the anus.
And this city needs an enema.
Yeah, it does. With us finally, Brian, he's just a professional Ibbot.
Oh, I am a professional. Why do you keep saying that? Mm. All right, a little bit of a confession here. So last week we were talking about, oh, what's our next movie, Randy? And I think, you know, you said, oh, a Denzel Washington film with Dakota Fanning, an action film. And I'm like, oh, cool. And so I went and saw, I saw Expendables 3 thinking that was what we were doing Film Sack on.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, it's really weird because we usually don't do movies that are on their premiere week in the theater. But okay, I'll do it anyway. And so then yesterday when I saw you putting clips in Discord, I was like, oh, shit, Man on Fire. And I'd already done the song. I'd already written it. I'd already recorded it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to play my Equalizer 3. Did I call it something else a minute ago? No. Equalizer 3 song.
You got it right.
Yes, Equalizer.
And I'll just correct it as we go with the correct information for Man on Fire. Okay, here we
excellent.
Go.
Excellent.
It's Equalizer 3.
No, actually, it's Man on Fire.
I give it a C.
Not as good as Man on Fire.
It stars Denzel Washington.
He's a force to be reckoned with.
Dakota Fanning.
That actually tracks with this movie, too.
Denzel is ex-CIA.
Man on Fire jibes with what you say.
Dakota is the one he must
it's
help.
It's like you read my review up on Yelp.
Singing old blues songs.
By blues, I think you mean Blue Bayou.
And fixing all the... That have wrong.
Like we watch the same thing all along.
The opinion of mine.
Shit, I know what's next.
That Dakota's real fine.
Nope, you can't say that.
I really can't believe.
Not appropriate in 2004.
How time's flown by.
Keep in mind she's currently 29.
Denzel speaks perfect Italian.
I think you mean it's Spanish he speaks.
Putting a gun to everyone's
noggin.
He
put a bomb in that fat guy's
I
butt.
I really can't say.
Brian, don't hold out, baby, it's man.
Man on Fire.
Wow.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you did say Expendables 3 and then...
Oh, I did say Expendables.
Oh, you said Expendables?
Yeah. I was trying to figure it out, but I don't know.
It didn't, I don't know if you did
we'll
or not. I have to go
post.
Back to the
we'll
tape.
Post.
That's amazing. And also, it is crazy that the very week we do this, they have a premiere where these two actors get reunited.
Yeah. Not just reunited, but my God, there are so many parallels between the two. I did actually watch Equalizer 3 before I watched Man on Fire, but I did see Man on
really?
Fire back in 2004. I don't know if I've seen it since. This, I think, is only my second watching. Mm,
okay,
but it was like, oh, okay, he's ex-CIA. Oh, okay, he Dakota Fanning's in trouble. He needs to help her. Oh, he has to go to a different place outside the U.S. and kind of acclimate and learn and be completely fluent in the language. And
they do it on purpose. Do you think? Do you feel like it was the director was like, or actors or writers or whatever, were like, hey, what if we reunited these two? No one will, those who remember will know, that kind of thing.
I don't think so. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's probably a little bit of like, oh, if we get Dakota Fanning, there'll be that moment for the Man on Fire fans who say, oh, look, they're together again. And they don't seem as far apart in age this time. But no, and I hadn't seen Equalizer 2, so I need to see that. I've kind of Oreo cookied this thing.
The fact that you've seen the first one is amazing.
I think the first one's pretty good.
Is
I think the
good?
First the first one suffers from a bad ending. I think the ending really sucks in that movie, but I like the first one. I haven't seen the second either, so maybe I'll stack these and
well,
see
out
three.
Of all the 80s TV shows to movies, that was not one that I was clamoring for.
Oh, let's get an Equalizer opening.
No,
yeah.
I know. Yes, the old Edward Woodward. By the way, and I noticed that when I was looking at Edward Woodward, that if you subtract Word, W-A-R-D, from his first and last names, you're left with Ed Wood.
Oh, Ed Wood?
Conspiracy.
Holy
Illuminati.
Holy Johnny Depp, mother effers. Can't believe it.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, the movie we watched is Man on Fire, and this is my fifth watching. I will let fake Scott Fletcher explain this movie, all right? We haven't heard from real Scott Fletcher in a while, so here's
God,
fake Scott Fletcher.
Faker.
Here he is.
Man on fire! In Mexico City, a former CIA operative swears vengeance on those who committed an unspeakable act against the family he was hired to protect.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Yeah. Although his intro.
Man on fire!
That's but the very loud.
Fire!
I love it.
Fire!
It's one of those times where I'm like, hey, you've had 20 years, IMDb. Can't you write a better description of this movie?
I mean,
like,
it's terrible.
Who writes those anyway?
Users do.
Like,
users
is do. One person?
Studio?
No, yeah, it's users that do those. All users. And that stuff gets...
If you sign up IMDb Pro, which I've considered in the past. Anybody done that before?
No.
I did very briefly. Yeah.
If you look at the alternate descriptions, there are plenty that are longer and more in depth and better summaries, but the ones that get voted up are the simple ones. And I don't know why that is. Probably because they're simple, but...
Why does that make me mad for some reason?
I don't know.
When you say that the users write that. Mm-hmm. Why does IMDb feel like a business built on the backs of free
It's entirely
content
cuz it
content
is.
Content creation
cuz it
people.
Is. All of it is. Like if you
I
find
thought
out
the studios did a lot of this.
So well now some I'm of mad. Them do. Some of them go in and do their own bios, some of them go in and do their a company that is like a what do you call them? I guess what do you call it when they're in charge of an actor's life?
PR.
Not PR, but manager, like their manager. That's what I'm trying to say is manager. If you're like a management company and you've got like four or five big names under you or whatever, I'm sure you go in and do stuff in here. That's probably part of your job. But a lot of it is just straight up, I could go
See,
in here.
I don't
here
find
and,
this like, I don't, maybe it's the pro, I don't know. Because like Wikipedia, it's like, I can understand Wikipedia. It's like open for anybody who's intelligent enough and dedicated enough to make something happen, whereas this feels like
like right. All you have to do is pay $99 and you can give the synopsis.
Is this my blue check mark?
Well, you guys remember when one of our listeners went and put fake stuff about Stallone getting hired every time?
But that was just trivia. Yeah. I felt like trivia is user submitted, but.
Yeah. I don't they don't like demarcate it.
Parts
they,
that are protected from that sort of thing.
Right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, I don't think you can go in
curated.
And I don't think you could go into Denzel Washington's list and go his name is now Dornzel Worshing Butt. I don't think you
recently
can do that.
Changed his name to I would love that.
Somebody out there with a full blown access thing, get write us and tell us how you do this because we'd be curious
let
about
us
it.
Know what exactly you have access to.
But this is interesting because I mentioned I've seen this movie five times. I love it. It's one of my favorite Tony Scott films. It's one of my favorite Denzel Washington films. I think Dakota Fanning is an insanely talented young actress in this.
Yes. She put the Fannings on the map.
The movie basically hinges, like a lot of her movies, honestly, this movie hinges on when you hire your child actress. If she doesn't nail it, the whole thing's effed. Mm-hmm. It's just it will be not nearly as good if Dakota Fanning didn't do an amazing job. And there's trivia about how Denzel Washington was just sort of, you know, he would become speechless listening to her in a scene and forget he was supposed to do a line. Yeah.
I watched that interview with Denzel and Tony Scott. It was really good. He talked about that just standing and watching.
Yeah, she's really incredible. And I feel like I haven't seen a lot lately that she's been in just because I haven't seen the thing she's in. But I assume she's as good as ever. And her sister Ellie's great. And those Dakotas or those Fannings, man. Jeez.
Yeah, those Fannings.
Is it Ellie? I think it was just L.
Was it L? I always thought it was Ellie. Just L. Okay.
Just L. There's no I in there. It's just E-L-L-E.
She's, I saw her, I guess her most recent thing for me would have been The Great, I guess.
The Great, yeah.
She's very
still,
good.
Still enough. Going, right? Like, just had a new season this year.
Canceled, though, I think.
No cancellation.
Canceled, or did it get to finish on its own terms?
It got strike canceled, so we don't know.
Oh, I keep...
Yeah, I think that
every other day I'm like, oh, it's fall time. I'm like, oh, shit.
All the stuff with really expensive like clothes and period piece set, I feel like those are getting nailed right now. They're getting hit
Probably
with this
so.
Pretty bad. Yeah. But anyway, this is the first reuniting of Denzel and Tony Scott since their first collaboration, which was like '03 with Crimson Tide, which we need to get on our list, by the
did
way.
Did we not do Crimson Tide?
No, we have not. 99, sorry. We need to do that. Why we haven't, beyond me. I do not understand why we have not done that.
So let's keep starting at the top here. Tony Scott. Tony Scott directed this movie.
Yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. Ridley Scott's brother.
Mm-hmm. So it's a screenplay based on a book that, you know. So,
and a movie, right?
Right. There's a previous movie. There's actually two previous movies named Man on Fire, but the book.
Only one's associated with it, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, Scott, like what are your top five Tony Scott movies?
Oh man. it's easy to throw Top Gun 1 in there.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. I think that Man on Fire, I really like the one he did right before he died. The plane or the train one. Runaway shit. Hold on.
Runaway shit. I love that one.
Unstoppable. I really liked Unstoppable, another Denzel joint. Mm-hmm. And let's see, probably after that, I would say, oh gosh.
You caught me with my pants down here.
You kind of did. I'm trying to think, what else is there? I can't think of anything else. I know there's others. Oh, Enemy of the State. I love Enemy of the State. Big fan of that. And Crimson Tide, that movie rocks. Love Crimson Tide.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Sad end, by the way, Tony Scott, if you don't know the story of Tony Scott, sad end.
He got diagnosed with something and then decided to take his own life, and it was a huge bummer.
Leave on his own terms, right.
Yeah, and I remember hearing or watching an interview with Ridley Scott, his brother, and I'd never seen such a sad, he was so sad. It was just the saddest thing.
They seem tight.
Very tight. I mean, this production company, Scott Free Productions or whatever, that was their joint, man. They were like making movies left and right. Oh, Beverly Hills Cop 2. I'll give them that. That was really good.
Oh, that's good. That's
a good one. Love that. Mm-hmm. Days of Thunder.
Maybe not so much. Get in the car, Roman. Cole, great, I suppose.
Oh, Crimson Tide was 95. Holy shit.
Well, now you're so
like, thanks to True Romance, I can't put Man on Fire in my top five Tony Scott movies. It's just... He's not a great director, but he's made some really solid action movies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even that Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 remake I liked. A lot of people don't like the original. They like the original, but they don't like that one. I say to them, eat a poo. I think it's a good movie.
Won't you tell us how you really feel, Scott?
I think he has. There's a like Ridley Scott is, you know, lots of historical stuff and very serious, and he does his fair share of really important sci-fi, of course, and genres things, and you know, where are we without Blade Runner and Alien and all that, but Ridley Scott, when I think of him, I think of big prestige thing like the upcoming Napoleon and Gladiator and these sorts of things, when I think of Tony Scott, I think this is the guy who did that era of Bruckheimer-ness better than most. Like, to me, Tony Scott was the OG Bruckheimer era. I use Bruckheimer as a adjective, really, not
right. But you're absolutely right. There's a certain style of filmmaking, and it really peaks with this movie. This movie like puts every part of that style of filmmaking on display constantly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so.
I love hate this. I love hate it because it's really interesting to look at how this is shot, but then also it's a very annoying. I'm like, oh God, why did we ever do this thing where they have this weird, weird camera shots and weird slow motion.
Lots of flickering.
Lots of flickering. I'm like, so asinine. But also it feels very much like 2004 film.
It does, but also there are times of it where I was like, now this is just the right amount. You're doing fine.
Yeah.
And then there are times you're like, whoa, pull it back a little bit, dude. What are you doing? And I don't know if this is the DP, if this is like,
it's a very interesting interpretation of emotionally conveying the idea of the character having a disconnect, being recovering from alcohol. Those moments when if you've ever had any type of recovery, which probably Tony Scott understands this very well, it kind of feels like what's being represented on screen. I just think there's other techniques that probably convey it better. Maybe. I don't know.
The movie doesn't really care to show you too much on screen. That's the weird thing about it. So much happens off screen that you're supposed to like know and have feelings about, you know, like even like, gosh, you've got Mickey Rourke playing such an interesting character. Yeah. And it's like everything he does that's badass is off screen completely.
Face down in the pool, blood, loved it.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Also some of it's just symbolic. Like, I don't think he ever jumped in the pool all bloody. Maybe he did, but if he didn't, it was a great metaphor for
how is this movie 2.5 hours long and it doesn't show you so much of the movie.
We don't got time for that. We ain't got no time.
The very last thing in the movie as the credits are rolling is a still that is put in place of an entire scene that we don't get. There's an entire scene of the cops catching the actual bad guy, the baddest bad guy, and killing him.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's kind of right.
It's kind of like told as a "Where are they now?"
kind of thing. Exactly. Hey, you know, you could have shown me this.
No, I'm glad. Dude, I'm really glad you brought this up because I wrote this down. I think those moments make people in the theaters, whenever you put text on your screen to say what ended up happening, you run the risk of people going, is this based on a true story? Is this real? Is this
something alone? That's look exactly. This up? That's a large discussion. You're right, Scott. That's exactly. There's a large discussion online. Is it based on a true story? Yeah. Very, very. The book that this is based on is based on a true story. But it's not even the same character. It's not like a one-to-one
not even close,
story. No. Not even close. Right, it's a total reimagination.
When they put up that still, I threw popcorn at the screen because you've got Giancarlo Giannini. Again, so underutilized in this movie. All he's doing is doing surveillance, the entire movie.
He spends his time on the phone and on a
making out with the ladies.
You've got him, and you've got this bad guy. What's his name? Victor Fuentes, right? Mm-hmm. Is the bad guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The voice.
You don't even have them act for the final, confrontation.
No, he puts him in the pool.
And here's what's funny. So when Denzel gets in the car at the end and they're driving off, I swear to God, I was going to say, oh my God, how great would it be if he looks down, he's got the watch on that he's got the, that he put the bomb in the dude's butt, and he's got in his own butt. And
I thought about that.
This morning,
hilarious.
I'm getting my music together and I'm watching a couple movie clips, even though I watched the movie last night and watching movie clips. And one of the things that comes up is alternate ending. And so I guess this might be on the DVD or Blu-ray, whatever, but it's filmed with some idiots like, oh, I'm going to play it on my TV and then use my phone to record it.
Drives me my out. God.
Hate those.
But the alternate ending is them driving Denzel Creasy back to the voice's house, and they're talking, and meanwhile Denzel's kind of looking down at his wrist, and he pulls his sleeve back, and he's got the other watch on,
and he
blows them both up in the apartment.
So it was being telegraphed, we're not insane.
Dang it, that sucks. I kind of like that.
I like that ending too, and I'm wondering what made them decide not to use that.
I think for one thing, our character we've fallen in love with, I like Creasy just slowly passing away, but I was interested in a little bit more revenge, even if it come in the form of a butt bomb and exploding him up. If you walked away and went like Creasy died from a butt bomb, all right.
Yeah.
The obvious reason is we aren't shown Creasy's actual death, proof of death
at the end
of this movie, just in case we want to make another movie.
Exactly. He just drifts off, and you don't know if he just passes out from,
he was tired.
Bomb is a pretty permanent situation, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no question with butt bomb.
Butt bomb will take you out.
I was mad at him for giving himself over to the bad guys. That was also a part where I'm just like, this doesn't make sense for this character to me at all.
Well, that part didn't bother me in the sense that he knew that this was the end of the road. And if he's going to get the girl back, that's all that mattered. And also that was a twist for him anyway, because he didn't know she was still alive. So he's willing to make that sacrifice. His life is kind of gone and shitty anyway.
Yeah, he was going
to
die anyway.
I didn't have a problem with that. What I had a problem with is he got that gunshot to his left lung way earlier than he died in the car. And was doing pretty damn good for a guy with a giant bullet right through the middle of his chest. And I kept thinking, if that were you wearing a vest, did I read this wrong? Because you're way too energetic. And then finally, by the end, he's
survival. Yeah.
Yeah.
It upends the narrative. He is spending days and days on a murderous rampage over this girl. And then when he gets her back alive, he should feel something to carry on living, right? He should,
the
he should
hope.
Be trying to defend her. You run to that car now. No, he's a bodyguard.
Well,
he should be
taking I think you just answered why they didn't do that alternate ending, because the way that this works is that he knows he's dying. He's got a bullet in his chest.
Yeah.
He's barely breathing now. He's barely moving. And he knows this is it. So the exchange is to get her safe, and then he's just going to die. And had they gone all the way to revenge butt bomb, I would have been more mad and would be more on your side, Randy, because I'd be like, well, okay, if he's capable of this, then he could have
Yeah. Well, he's a professional, you know. He's just gonna he's just gonna blink out. Is he man on fire? Is he off fire now? Is he dead?
Yeah, they put him out.
I think also, you know, you've got the audience sitting there. All they can think of is imagining Denzel Washington greasing up an
enema. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the problem. It's the visual
up his own butt.
It destroys our image of creasy, right?
And by the way, you got to go back and rewatch when he's got the guy tied down to the hood of the car. You know, the president of Hermanadad.
Yes. Harry man.
That scene first starts, he has just inserted the thing because he's still got a nitrile glove on and he's taking it off.
Yep.
That's what I was wondering when I saw the glove. I was like, what's he doing in the glove? It's like, butt stuff.
I would be a bad
butt stuff.
I'd be a very bad assassin revenger because when it came to that moment where you got to put it up as Hooter, I would have balked.
Hooter.
It would have been a real life what Gross got.
He didn't have to. It was just fun. It was
right. That's the thing. He did not have to actually do that. The bomb could have been in the guy's shorts. It could have been under the hood of the car. The bomb didn't have to be inside the bad guy.
I disagree because I think if you're the bad guy, and you don't feel something like that, you might think that he's just bluffing and you're not going to give him information.
Right, right.
That's a good point.
You definitely know there's been butt stuff, right? It's like
I'm assuming. You would feel that in your butt and you'd be like, ooh, he is not kidding. I was wondering what that was. I thought I
had to take a poo.
You put something in the guy, but I'm saying the bomb doesn't have to be the something. The bomb
just put something in the guy. If you're going to go the effort,
stuck a baby Ruth up his guy,
it might as well have a bomb in it.
A lot of effort.
That's a good point. If you're going to go through the process, may as well put it up there. But we single-handedly added a lyric to Eddie Murphy's hit song, and now it's put C4 in your butt. There you go.
Put some C4.
Bottom line, this is a weird movie, and it makes me think about the filmmakers a little too much. I don't want to think about you writing a script and putting together a scene where a guy gets a bomb stuck in his butt. I don't know. There's something about it that takes me out of the movie.
I mean, it didn't take me out of the movie. I mean, I'm a giant revenge film nerd. I love this stuff. Anytime, you know, you John Wick up the place, I'm in. I'm kind of all in on that. Which is why I want to see the Equalizer, third and final Equalizer. Because, you know, again, these are, in some ways it's OG John Wick, or, you know, came out before all that. And now it continues. But anyway, I like all those kind of concepts of creative dismantling of everyone who's wronged you is a fun path to go on. And I do think you have to kind of get creative. Now, could it have been something else besides a bomb up the butt? Probably, but I'm fine with it. Like, you know,
I need it to be for a reason for it to be up his butt. I really kind of wanted, if you just give me just anything, if you just had said, oh, he sodomized some, you know, so some of the people they kidnapped or something, like, okay, ha ha ha, you got it back. But he didn't do that.
You have that stuff themed. So it's like, well, you did this thing, so this is going to be much worse for you because you did this thing. And in this case, it was just, yeah, it was a little random. I agree with that, but I still think it's an effective, like, it was working on me even this fifth watching, where I was like, how horrible would this be? You're this hairy, nasty bastard
tied
to the front of a car with a thing up
your butt.
That
was, that was the thing that was good about it, is because we need to feel a connection to the character, but we also need to feel like we would never go that far, so we can feel just a little bit uneasy with what he's doing. So it did go to that point. But I think you'd already killed it by the time you took those guys' his fingers off and cauterized, and that was pretty
And that's
cool
the
too.
Thing. Like, Denzel's character, and having kind of do these different methods of torture to get the guys to say what you need to know before you end up killing them anyway, is it just, I don't want to get stuck in a rut, so this guy, I'm going to cut his fingers off. This other guy, I'm going to shove something up his butt. This other guy, I'm going to put a shotgun. You know, like,
he likes to keep it. He likes to keep the variety. Yeah,
I don't want to get typecast. I don't want to typecast, but I don't want to. You know,
you don't want to get a name.
Mix it up a little bit. But you don't want to be the.
You don't want to be like the knuckler or something weird. Yeah, I got you.
Right. Well, definitely not. You're right. You know, it's like, oh, you know, this hand thing certainly is working with cutting off fingers. I'll just always do that.
Oh, I see.
Instead of like, you see what I'm saying? Like, why go to the effort of learning another, like, oh, let's see, how much C4 would this take? And how much can I fit in this little container? And how much is it going to cost? Eh, no, I've got a machete. How about the finger thing all the time?
Yeah. All revenge stories go back to The Count of Monte Cristo for me. Mm. This is a, you know, a 200-year-old book, right?
Yeah.
And it's enormous and it's so complicated, right? It's like, It will take you days and days of reading to get through all of the Count of Monte Cristo's machinations and his very, very, very cold revenge. And I always like think about video games, right? Because that's like how you structure the, you know, a movie like Man on Fire is you give me a setup. The first act is just a nice story about a guy, you know, who's got some demons going to Mexico, meeting a girl. There, everybody's good. And then the second act has to give me the big betrayal, right?
Right, right.
And then the third act is nothing but revenge. And like, there's video, there's boss battles. It's a video game thing.
Really are. Yeah, so, exactly.
Of course, your boss you want your boss battles to be a little bit different.
And each NPC has to take you to the next NPC or to the next boss.
Mm-hmm. And that boss cannot be the same fight over and over. Like, players would be bored. And so it's just variety for our sake. This isn't even in a real world scenario. It probably would. Well, I don't just know. You'd probably just do the same thing, or probably just hold on a gun to their head until they admitted something. I don't know.
Exactly. Why have to carry around? Oh, well, this time I'm gonna do the machete. Oh no, this time, you know, C4. I have to. I don't want to learn something new. It's like, listen, this thing is working for me.
You sound like me.
I've got this one app on my phone. I know how to use it. Why do I have to learn
app? This sounds like my love life. I got one move.
Does it end with a swirl?
I worked really hard to get it, and it's worked for me so far. I'm sticking with it.
Stick with it. I get it.
In a video game, you accidentally get a two-handed axe that's got whirlwind and +9 damage. You just use it on every boss fight.
You'll favor it. You know, good video games make you want to change things up, and I certainly respect that. But but that's the idea. We as an audience want that, and how you make sure that that's okay without too much analyzation, which you are doing now because we're FilmSack. But the way you do it to make me like this movie, even the fifth time around, is you sell really hard the relationship that was built between Washington and Fanning. And I think they
did a great job.
Very good at that. And so because they're good at that.
They said 3/4 of this was improv'd. And Fanning and, oh my God, and Denzel Washington, they do so good. They have such chemistry.
And Walken, I guess Christopher Walken and Washington.
Oh, Walken's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I kept waiting for him to be something bigger, but
here's what I thought. So this is what this movie does. It makes you think, oh no, he's going to turn on his friend.
Yeah,
oh,
he's totally going to be a turn.
He's going to be the guy. And you're like, oh, somehow Mickey Rourke isn't the bad guy. We haven't even talked about him yet. This is Mickey Rourke with a little work done, but not all the work he was about to get.
Yeah, this is still like good Rourke.
Midway through the procedure.
This is fine.
This is mid-Rourke. Yeah, mid-Rourke.
Mid-Rourke. I liked it.
But my brain, when I first saw the movie, and even this time, it still happens, I go, they could easily say, well, Mickey Rourke by the end wasn't as bad as we thought. Or at the very least, he's not the number one. The number one really is Christopher Walken, who's just yanking all this around. And
yeah, we figure as much because we see all of his burner phones by the side table. They keep calling the character the voice, which makes no sense. Christopher Walken definitely sounds like he'd be a voice, right? Whereas the other guy,
he should be the voice.
He's just a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it turns out just absolutely not to be that way. He's like the nicest guy in the movie, which is against type for him.
Yeah, I loved
and
it.
I really liked him in it. I really liked Mickey Rourke for the brief moments we saw him. I think he died unceremoniously though, with the head cut off in the pool and stuff. He's just in there. Didn't get to see really what went down or what happened, but
they all do. Like Mark Anthony gets a crazy villain's death. We don't see it. It happens completely in another room. We hear a sound. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And that room is so freaking cool and interesting, by the way. They're like, it's almost
all the candles and the statues and stuff.
Yeah, it's almost ridiculous. It's not quite ridiculous, but there's a point where you're like, whoa, these people are strange. But, you know, like he's in that amazing, I don't know, he's got a synagogue in his home. And we're just like, we're just like, oh, we're in another room looking at Denzel's face, and Denzel doesn't even react. And it's like, why does this movie keep doing this? Yeah, I want to know. I want someone to answer this question.
Yeah.
Why can't you show me something?
It is a little bit weird. Yeah. Mark Anthony's whole role, I think he's, by the way, I think he's a decent actor when he's not, I mean, he's obviously mostly a musician, but I'm looking at his IMDb, and he's really only acted in a handful of things. Everything else is soundtracks or himself. And I don't know why that is, because I thought he was pretty good in this.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
Who we didn't talk about yet is Rachel Tocotin, who is I needed more of her. We just didn't get enough. She was the one that was helping him along the way. She was in Falling Down, Con Air, which we watched, Total Recall.
So she's
a big deal. Loved her. So good here.
But it's funny watching her and Giancarlo Gianni.
Wasn't that weird
freaking love affair they're having was the biggest crack up to me.
I'm assuming she was using it. I'm assuming she was using it because to get what she needed, right? I think she was using her. Well, that's what I'm assuming they were implying.
I don't know. It was just such an odd. I'd forgotten all about that relationship, but it was such an odd thing. It worked. Somehow it worked. I don't know why.
It did work.
I just want to know what could have been, because you've got both Christopher Walken and Giancarlo Giannini and Rachel Tocotin, and they're all sidelined in this movie. The whole movie, they're all standing on the sidelines watching the action from afar. And I'm just like, why? What? This could have been so, like, if there had been a reason for the three of them to be sort of like chasing Creasy as he's doing his revenge something. Yeah.
He was a man on fire. It's hard to stop a man on fire. He's running.
He's on fire.
Also, Rachel Tocotin is a news reporter with like magical investigatory powers. Like she can find out about bank transactions. She's a reporter. It's amazing. But like, you got to give me a reason why. Why is this?
Well,
how? What is?
I was assuming that she was using her sexuality to manipulate men of power. I can't say for sure. There just wasn't enough information there, but I felt like that was kind of, cause she felt very reluctant in the thing she was doing. And I think it also reflects the other side of, I'm just a professional. Other words, I'm doing what I have to do. And I'm doing it in the best way that I can.
I'm playing by the rules that are here. These are the rules here, and they suck. They're awful
for good
rules,
or bad.
But I gotta get. I'd rather save these kids from kidnapping than worry about dirty old Giancarlo and his bad wiener. You know,
right?
But I thought everybody, including Rada, I think it's Rada.
Yeah, Mitchell? Rada Mitchell, the Lisa character.
She
the
was
wife,
great.
The mom.
Yeah, she was real good. I liked her a lot. She was in those two Silent Hill movies. We got to watch those.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And she was also in, wasn't she the one who was in Pitch Black?
Oh, maybe. Was she in there?
Yeah, Pitch Black. You guys seen Pitch Black, right?
I want to watch Pitch Black.
Yeah, the Vin Diesel.
Yeah. We didn't watch it here, did we?
We have not watched it.
No,
here. We
no,
should.
We haven't watched it.
Okay.
She was great, though. But just this, Randy, I don't think you're wrong, but I think that you're right about, they've got these amazing actors, right, with this incredible history and just such raw talent, and they bring them in as secondary bit characters, which is a little weird. I agree with that, but I think that it still works, again, based solely, for me, it's just based solely on that Lupita Creasy relationship that comes from the swimming and the teaching and the laughing and the smiling and the giving them a flower
and the teaching and the good flavin. Times
and the flavin
and the diary that he finds, and then mom walks in the room and completely ruins the whole scene. Like, it's such an interesting quiet moment, right? And and you're like, so the movie wants to, no, the movie's just treating her like a MILF, and she's going to kiss him on the cheek, and we're not going to see her again until the very end. Right. Oh, come on, movie.
There was supposed to be, you could tell there was supposed to be tension there, attraction, whatever.
Yeah.
But they did never pay it off. And a part of me is glad, though, because that happens in all of these movies. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. You don't need to do it again. It's fine.
I want Creasy to be basically a monk.
Yeah, pretty much. He's on a redemption.
If he had kissed Rachel Tocotin or something, it wouldn't have surprised me at all.
No.
But it would have been a very different character than he is. Like his lost love is with the bottle. And that is very prominently
Creasy just trying to get into heaven, right? That's all he's doing. He's just trying to get in heaven.
I mean,
maybe. I got really mad at him when he the first thing he does after he arrives at these people's nice mansion with the shrine inside it is let the bird go. Like, I'm like, no, you don't do that. You're an employee now.
And the bird, he's the bird in the bucket too. The bird,
technically, it's nobody's bird, right?
Yeah,
because the last guy left.
Free bird. Say it. Say free bird. Say it.
I had in my notes that I was going to hold up my match and go free bird, or my lighter and go free bird.
I love it. It doesn't work as well on an audio podcast, but we
know.
We'd know about it. Yeah, it's I don't know. There's so much to say about it. I know that there's some bullshit trivia going on, so let's do some of this.
Scrutiny.
It's been a while since we have one of these, but according to this trivia.
That is some very trivia.
Trivia is plural for trivia. So this is just how it says word for word. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Kurt Russell, Michael Keaton, Alec Baldwin, Andy Garcia, Keanu Reeves, Val Kilmer, Kevin Costner, Dennis Quaid, Harrison Ford, Mel Gibson, Viggo Mortensen, Liam Neeson, Gary Oldman, so Sean Bean, Alan Rickman, Bob Hoskins, and Ed Harris were considered to play John Creasy. Now,
no, they weren't. I watched the interview with Tony Scott, and he said there was the first two picks were Dakota Fanning and then Denzel Washington. That was it.
Yeah, I believe that more than I believe this, but here's where I think this is the most BS. Because the truth is, sure, you want all the A-listers. I get it. All right? And I think Denzel's in the A-lister group, especially around this era. So he's a perfect pick. They sneak Bob Hoskins in this list.
That is a weird. Like, this wasn't that close to Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. Right.
For them to be able to say, his star is on the rise.
And I love Bob Hoskins. Don't get me wrong. Guy's awesome. Freaking OG Mario. Give it up. Right. But in fact, I think he even, oh no, he died 10 years later. But the idea that he was even remotely on a casting list for this role to be Creasy, it's a very different movie.
It feels like copy and paste to every other trivia, IMDb trivia from any action film.
Yeah, totally. Although Ed Harris is an interesting pick. Viggo Mortensen would be pretty interesting. Liam Neeson seems like a no-brainer given what we've seen from him.
Yeah,
after he does all this.
Every movie now.
Yeah, he's a man on fire in every movie he does. But yeah, the complete bullcrap, of course. Dakota Fanning, it says here, had to have a stunt belcher because she couldn't do it.
I would need that too. I can't belch on demand.
There was a fake belcher in the car, and then there was definitely not Dakota Fanning when you hear her from the window up there with
like
the piano
Scott
teacher.
Johnson soundboard in that piano.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was
making
me laugh.
I don't like that kind of humor. I know.
Humor?
I have shitty taste in humor in movies. I know, but can I just say I felt like it hurt the movie.
But let me
doing
let me,
that.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Dunaway. Could this movie have been great if it was one of those that had a lot of comic relief? Like if there had been a funny, funky person in the mix.
I only want a very soft humor. Like when he's talking with her, talking about smiling, those very intimate, soft jokes where he needs to be that character. That was the humor that I appreciated. Anything else feels a little outrageous and a little too comical.
I really appreciated how the movie established that the little girl and her dad don't really see eye to eye. She just doesn't really like her dad, and her dad treats her like an employee rather than a daughter.
Yeah.
And it did that really deftly, really quick. And I totally bought it. So then it makes a lot of sense that she desperately wants a father figure and that Creasy comes along and the two of them bond. Like, makes a lot of sense. But I'm just like, there was some humor in that, as there would be if you've ever spent any time around a 7-year-old. There's humor all the time. But I'm just like, could have been more. Could have been funnier.
Maybe a little bit more. I moments though that really sold it for me was like when she gave him the little the dandelion out there.
Which wouldn't have still been as fresh 5 days later, whenever it was.
Yeah. But when he was handing it off to her, it was I have a shot of it. In fact, when he's handing it off to her, there's a that she knows that that's basically a weed. Like nobody looks at a dandelion.
Nobody looks at that and goes, ooh, a flower. You pull that out from the field so that the cows don't give sour milk.
It's both a sweet gesture and a sardonic like, hey, check out this weed I'm giving you and pretending it's all. You know, she sells that so well. True that is. I never even questioned it. And when she gave him the bear, same thing. It was just like a everything that went on between those two felt genuine and sweet and real. And the whole movie hinges on it. If without it, it breaks. The whole movie breaks, in my opinion.
Whenever you're talking about stuff like that, you're talking about like what you love in the movie, like what sticks with you. Like that was a great shot. That was a great scene. You're talking about stuff that was shot like a movie, like with on film, with a camera pulled away and a zoom lens and so on. And we haven't even mentioned some of the things where like the initial shootout where she gets kidnapped. We haven't even mentioned it because it's shot so badly. You don't really understand what's going on. And I know that's a style.
Stylistically. But I'm saying
like we're drawn toward good cinematography and we just don't like, we're not going to care about your sequences that are all flickery and quick edits and so on.
Blur. Yeah, exactly.
I think the idea there was to create the emotion maybe through his eyes of the chaos.
He's been shot. Yeah, it's definitely all, it's almost all completely shot through his eyes. I mean,
because later on, it's almost all this style throughout the rest of the film. And that's because he's in full on fire mode. Whereas prior to this, he hadn't
I like that fire vision.
He hadn't initiated his rage yet, or whatever you do in D&D as a barbarian.
And,
but I do like even what they do with the subtitles when it's different, like different levels of duress and pain. Like obviously a lot of it's in Franklin Gothic Bold, but you know when he's when he's really angry at somebody, it's like an impact, or it's like in this weird blurry version of Franklin Gothic, and it fades out as opposed to just disappearing from the screen.
Right. No, I thought that stuff was cool. Like when he was in the car torturing that guy, and he was asking him questions. Some of the subtitles, like he would lean forward, and it would eat up the words.
Go away. Yeah.
I sometimes, it depends on how this is done, but I thought that stuff was cool.
It can be really distracting if it's not done right.
Yeah. You mean like in Fallen? This is like, this feels like they use the same effect in that movie from 98 with Denzel Washington. I think it's called Fallen, where the demon is hopping between people and he's murdering people and Denzel is a cop. You remember that movie?
I don't remember that.
Oh, Fallen. Yes. This is they use a lot of that weird kind of
subtitly stuff. The cuts and the blur
and the
that stuff. Yeah. I mean,
you guys haven't seen.
I don't know what that is.
It sounds like something we should definitely have on the list.
I love Fallen. That's a great movie.
These techniques, though, in this movie, clearly very music video inspired.
Yes,
that's what I felt like I was watching in a weird way.
Cool video.
And like Tool, except not black and white enough.
Yeah.
Tool was always black and white with a guy covered in ashes in the corner, all bald.
It's always stop motion. Some guy going, he's like, oh, he's really spazzing out. Look at him.
Yeah, I used to really like that stuff. I don't know how I feel about it now, but anyway, it's a mixed bag for sure. I think it doesn't hold up as well as it could have. Like, this will bug people if they've never seen this movie. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Or if they haven't seen like movies from this time period that do this.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's just one of a kind, you know,
Yeah.
There's and a problem for me is that it comes between Training Day and American Gangster. Mm-hmm. And you might actually find yourself seeing all three movies at some point. Yeah. And like, so this is a dip in the middle, you know, like
the freeze frame stuff is very John Woo as well. That's the other thing that reminded me of, but not the actual over motion and filters and all that. That was just like, I don't know what to compare that to.
I saw American Gangster. A few years ago, I saw American Gangster, and watching this movie yesterday, I spent the whole time going, I wonder what this would look like if Ridley Scott had directed it. Because like we have a good example, like Denzel went and made a Ridley Scott movie a couple of years after Man on Fire, and it has a certain look, and just like, I don't know, this movie just, it doesn't look like anything. I can't like place it and say, yeah, that looks like movies from something.
That's a fair point, because Ridley Scott definitely has a signature to everything I see of his. You can look at a movie and go, I think Ridley Scott directed that, and you might be right. Whereas with Tony Scott, I think that's harder to do. Mm-hmm. Like, he was really good when he was in the medium he was in, but you know, there's nothing about Top Gun where you go, well, that's a Ridley Scott film. You only know it because he did it. It could be anybody else, right? And it's not a bad thing. I mean, a lot of directors are like that. I was watching a review of that new Gran Turismo thing.
Yeah.
And I forgot entirely that that thing's directed by Neil Blomkamp, who's District 9 director. And as far as I'm concerned, District 9 is one of the most revelatory science fiction films ever made. And this is just kind of nothing.
Well, so, but and District 9 looks like Chappie and it looks like Elysium, right? So like, because the director and a cinematographer are doing a lot of the same stuff.
Right. Like, but then you see this and you just, you see Gran Turismo and you go, that could have been anyone. Doesn't matter who did it. Just, and I'm sure, you know, whatever, they're paying the bills. This is what I, this is what directors do if they aren't getting huge jobs. They do small stuff, you know, like I don't think Matchstick Men looks like a typical Ridley Scott film, even though it's him.
Not at all.
But. Yeah. And that's not a bad movie by any stretch. I don't mean that.
No,
but.
No.
What?
You know what I'm saying.
Do you think Matchstick Men was like, did it come out before Man on Fire? Is that kind of
how that works? No, that flammable? Was later, no? I thought. Okay. I can't remember when that came out.
Just checking if you had a theme.
When did, what was the movie that Ridley Scott did that was, that Ridley Scott did with Denzel? I don't remember it, Randy. You mentioned that a second
American
ago.
Gangster. And,
oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, he's he starts in Louisiana, ends up in Harlem, and he's just, he inherits a mafia that's importing heroin from like Vietnam.
Yeah, Russell Crowe's like the cop or a reporter or something.
There's a scene early in that movie, like it's an all-star cast, and one of the bit roles is Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Like a bit, you blink and you miss him role.
Yeah.
And the reason you'd blink and miss him is because like, he's on the street and Denzel Washington is sitting in a cafe talking to some people about family and how important it is that you always do the right thing by your family. And he sees Idris Elba on the street outside and he goes outside and like says five words and shoots him in the head. It's like, oh my God, this, and the way Ridley Scott directs, like you see all of that really clearly. Yeah. Everything that he does.
That movie's great. Mm-hmm. What a great movie. Look at this. Chidiwetta Eladjidafor is in it.
Yeah, I nailed it.
Bang, bang, bang.
Ted Levine, Josh Brolin.
Levine.
John Hawks, Levine, sorry. Love that guy.
Just kidding.
Ruben Santiago Hudson's awesome. He's good in everything. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s got a small role. That's a great movie, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm and I like, if Man on Fire left a bad taste in your mouth, and I'm not trying to put it down. I'm just saying, like, it's 39% on Rotten Tomatoes. There's people out there who don't like this movie.
Yeah.
If it left a bad taste in your mouth and you haven't seen American Gangster, go watch American Gangster. Yeah. It will fix all
it's
the
stuff. So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn it, you're making me want to watch that, right? let's see what else. What grossed me out? Let's play this.
Gross.
Oh, what do you think grossed Scott out today?
I wrote down two. Wiping the sweat off of the forehead of the guy in the club when he's got the shotgun pointed at him and he's like using his arm, uncovered arm to wipe the sweat off the forehead of that guy.
He top does three. That a lot, even That's, with the yeah. with the duct tape. He
yeah,
he
with the duct tape, he wipes the sweat, which won't do anything. If anything, that just makes it Dick. Gross. Yeah. There's a point where Christopher Walken licks his fingers while he's eating something.
Nice.
And I thought either of those moments. Would have been on your list.
That's got to be it.
No, that wasn't
for me,
it. Go ahead, Randy.
There was something gross in the scene, the first bit of revenge. So Denzel is in the backseat of the broken car that gets uncovered, and he's got the henchman, and he takes him to like a hilltop junkyard. I don't know what that's so weird sometimes when go to a place where you spend the entire scene going, what the hell is this place? How does this exist?
Was a weird place. I agree.
Anyway, he's in the front seat of this car that's with the windows up, and you're like, you just know it's like hot and sweaty and they're both bleeding, and like, and then the guy is like, can you give me a cigarette? And I'm about to kill you. I wouldn't waste a cigarette on you. This is so weird. And Denzel's like touching his mouth.
No air filtration. You're right.
Just gross.
You're right. That was gross. I would put that top three. So far you guys have gotten three and two, I'll say. Those are interchangeable.
Wow. Okay.
But number one's a much simpler thing. Dunaway, do you want to take a crack at it?
Oh man, I was just swimming in a pool fully clothed. I mean, that just seems like something you'd be like, I don't like it.
I wouldn't like it either, but it wouldn't gross me out. But I would not like it. You're right about that. The number one thing for me was them sucking on every finger at the barbecue. Just every finger.
Yeah, and
I know some. I know some people love to suck juice and shit off their fingers at food events. Right. All that. I'm not throwing shade at you. I'm just saying for me. It is one of the foulest things you can do is sit there and lick your fingers. Oh, my gosh. Can't do
that's
it.
And his hands in particular.
Why's that?
Well, it leads me to, I need a trope alert.
Oh, hold on. Let me get here.
This movie has a noodle incident. If you don't know what a noodle incident is, it is a fact about a character that will not be explained. It is something that happened in the past, and people might ask, hey, what's your deal with noodles? Oh, and they go, don't even ask me about that. Yeah. And in this case, the scars all over Creasy's hands go completely unexplained. And without a doubt, you probably come up with a worse explanation for them than would actually have been portrayed if it had been.
I think
portrayed.
It was a previous bum insertion that went wrong.
Exactly,
because you got to practice at that. You can't just do that one time. You know,
it was explained in the book apparently, because in a book you have to explain such things. It, you can't just say he's got scars. Like, you have to explain why they're shaped the way they are, or whatever. Mm. And apparently in the book. In the past, he had been captured, like in Vietnam or something. He had been captured and was being interrogated with his hands on top of a table, and the interrogators were putting out cigarettes in the backs of his hands.
That's what it kind of looked like, circle burns. Nobody wants circle burns.
But like, their tropes aren't always bad. It was way better not explained, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. It's a MacGuffin I could deal with. You know, you just knew it was bad.
They explained a little bit. They talked about when they were investigating him at the, for the newspaper or whatever, they were talking about what he was, the assassin and that kind of stuff. So we kind of got some backstory, but we didn't need any more than that.
No, it was fine. In fact, the movie's already 2.5 hours and it doesn't feel long to me. This movie goes right past real fast for me, but I don't think they needed to spend too much time. In fact, there's a whole quote from, I didn't write it down, but a quote from Tony Scott, who said that they had a ton of dialogue between him and Christopher Walken about their life previous to all of this.
That'd be awesome.
And he went, you know what? Why are we doing this? We don't need any of this. All of this is intuitive that they're these old friends with these old connections. They've seen some dark shit in their lives, but they're in a different place now. And that's all you need. And I think he's right. I don't need it over-explained. I wouldn't mind exploring it, but it's a different movie.
Well, yeah, the trope of the character is the retired badass, right? Mm-hmm. And we love that. I'm speaking for all audiences everywhere all the time. We love the retired badass.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of movies.
Just one more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you could say that about almost, everything's a retired badass, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot of retired badass.
It's not all, but it's a lot. Yeah.
Even the Equalizer,
even the new Top Guns, he's not retired, but it's those themes, you know. It's like, well, I'm aged out of being good at driving flying this jet. I'm out here driving this jet.
I'm a jet driver.
Yeah, what do you
That's
do?
That's not what we do.
Oh my gosh! My favorite example of this for some reason is Bubba Ho-Tep, because we have both Elvis and JFK. Maybe. We don't know.
Maybe. Not for sure.
Dude, you might have a retired badass Elvis in the mix.
I love that movie way more than it deserves. I really like that movie a lot.
Yes.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All that being said, let's do some clips. We got clips here to do, and we're going to do them. All right? That's the commitment.
We're going
to
do clips?
Yeah, if we do clips, then we do them. That's the rule.
Okay.
I'm going to start with this one. Breathe some air.
Breathe some air.
Breathe some air.
Breathe some air. Yeah. It's free. Taste it. Yeah.
Here's this one. Oh, I wrote she's very good in this, speaking of Dakota Fanning.
My last bodyguard left. Someone gave him more money than we could.
I guess that makes me a bargain then, huh?
Being black, is that a positive or negative for a bodyguard in Mexico?
Time will tell.
There were 24 kidnappings in Mexico City in the last 6 days. 4 a day.
Yeah?
Yes.
24?
24. What do you think about that, Chris?
I think that you know entirely more than you should.
Well, thank you.
Oh, they're so good.
That's good.
They're so good. Damn it, she's good. Give her... Yeah. Why? Okay. I don't understand this. Her and her sister. Why aren't they always up for shit? Yeah, I mean like awards. Why am I not constantly hearing... I guess she was nominated for The Great. Elle was. But why are we not like, oh yeah, this new prestigious Christopher Nolan film... with this incredible performance by Dakota. Well, what happened there? Why aren't we doing that?
It's a good question.
Did she not get a nomination for Little Miss Sunshine?
Was she in that? Oh, no, that's Abigail Breslin or whatever her name is.
Oh, shit, girl. Really? Yeah. I thought that was Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, different girl.
Wow. It's real hard for a kid to get like an award like that. And then once they get into adulthood... I think it's not, maybe it's not, they're still great actors when they get to adulthood, but there's something special about someone who blooms early. It could do it when they're super young. And does that translate into, you know, becoming even greater as they get older? Not necessarily.
But I've yet to see her do anything, even in her adulthood, anything crappy. Like, I feel like she's as good as anyone working. I don't know.
Solid. Well, yeah. Do solid actors get awards, or is it the ones that...
I don't know.
But a lot of actors really come into their own in their 30s and 40s. They got a ways to go. It's
fine. I mean, you can like or not like Leonardo DiCaprio, but he did some pretty amazing things and never got recognized for a very long time.
I like that you had a proviso there. Leonardo. Do people not him? I like him just fine.
People get mad at him because of...
He only dates 23 and younger.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. There's plenty of DiCaprio haters.
I didn't realize that was a thing. Well, I knew that was a thing, but...
His Twitter profile is 23andMe.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Please tell me that's the first joke, that man. You should patent that joke. That's really good.
I should patent. Yeah. I'll patent it right now.
Not once has he rebuffed that statement about and not once has he even like he gave a shit. Whatever.
Yeah.
Y'all guys just hating.
Whatever.
By this way.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Here's a birth defect thing. What? Anyway, here it is.
It's birth defect.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Oh yeah, it's hand thing. He was trying to explain it.
Yeah.
The gunshot holds no fear. I think that was cool because it had double meaning. It was like for her and her swimming, but then later it kind of had metaphor. I'm not even sure what the metaphor was, but it felt like it had metaphorical qualities.
Well, I mean, she didn't freeze up when she was being kidnapped. That was part of
it. Oh, because the gun went off and she reacted and ran. That's right. Yeah.
I have two problems with that scene. Two like real serious problems and I'm kind of angered by it. Uh-huh. Number one, why are you rubbing the bricks together?
I loved rubbing the bricks together though. It was such a stupid thing.
I am on edge. My hair is standing up.
Probably why, right? Because it's like there's going to be the excitement at the swim meet. You're going to be like anxious and that's what the bricks cause.
Okay. Yeah.
What's your other complaint, Randy?
Paying you to serve me and I'm telling you stop rubbing those bricks together. Number two, when you clack the bricks together, if you do it right behind my head, I am going to murder you. It was so wrong of him to make that seriously loud noise right behind her head. I just felt like he was I hated it so much.
It did feel a little like a little bit of bullying, but you also can understand it because, you know, certainly if you know, he's a professional. He's also everything. He drives the mom places. I'm like, this bodyguard job has really got some feature creep, man. Yeah, he's like, Lord.
He's a swim instructor. What is this? We're not going to explain that.
He was underpaid. I'll just say it.
Oh, absolutely.
He was underpaid.
Well, he was a drunk to start with, but he straightened up.
I mean, I guess it's his own fault. It's like getting a job and then doing too much. Yeah, it's your own fault. Like, you know, don't come in before 9 or don't stay after 6 or whatever. Right? He was self-imposed.
Right in the middle of all of that part of the movie is a trope of, hey, you up? The midnight phone call.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, like, for some reason, I just loved that little sequence. Like, I
very
don't
genuine.
I've never gotten that phone call. I've had a lot of really good friends. And I've never had one get drunk and call me at 2 a.m.
I haven't had that either. I've never had that.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, you guys need some new friends. Apparently, or maybe I need some new friends.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you that's got friend issues. But yeah, I'm trying to think if I've ever had anybody. I mean, I've had family call me about stuff like, oh, Uncle so-and-so just got taken to the ER.
Emergency kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I've never had anybody call and just go.
Like that. It was so important because it establishes that actually Christopher Walken's probably a good guy here. Yeah. And it establishes it because Creasy trusts him so much that he reaches out to him when he's feeling bad, like even if it's 2 a.m. And I like the whole thing, everything about it. I really, really, really like. Hmm. I would have had my ringer off. That's all I'm saying.
I would never.
But you don't have like 6 Nokia phones on your side table.
You might have 5 earrings off.
But yeah. Right.
When you called that his Nokia collection in your intro, about pissed myself just sitting here. It's too good. I was going to say one other thing about that. What was it? I was going to say that, it's tropey, but I liked the bit where later he's describing to the police in the questioning, Walken sitting there, and he says, he's going to kill everybody and you don't have enough power to stop. Like that whole idea of my friend is bigger than any war you throw at him. And he has to tell us that. So the audience hears just how on fire this man is, you know?
That's right.
I love that. I love that whole trope. That happens in a lot of stuff, including Wick and who knows what else.
Man, I like the point is always a good one. Like you should have a hype man in a movie.
Yeah, he is like that's a great word for it. He is the hype man.
We the audience need that. I just feel like the hype man doesn't need to be sidelined so much. Like we just watched the newer Walking Tall, right?
Yeah.
And
wait, did you call it Walking Tall?
Walking Christopher Walking Tall.
And Johnny Knoxville is definitely a hype man in that movie, but he's also the comic relief and he's also all these other things.
Yeah.
And it's just like I just wanted more Christopher Walken, please.
Yeah. He's great. Can't wait to see him be Emperor in Dune Part 2. Can't wait. It's gonna be weird. Let's see. They are really great together, I wrote.
Do you have a girlfriend, Creasy?
What?
Do you have a girlfriend?
No. What kind of question is that anyway? You're supposed to be studying history, okay?
That is history. Creasy history.
No, that's ancient history. No more questions. What else?
Was your very first girlfriend?
I haven't heard that kind of chemistry since Macaulay Culkin and Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
And the breakfast.
Fast. Right, the fast thing, yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought that was his brother, Kieran Culkin, no? Was that Macaulay Culkin?
That was Macaulay and Uncle Buck. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, Kieran Culkin's ruined me.
No, it's Abigail Breslin.
No, it's Abigail Breslin. ever since Kieran Culkin did that thing to the window in Succession, it's hard for me since then. I loved him in season 2 of Fargo. Anyway, moving on. Walking and yelling.
I'm in love. I'm moving to Mexico.
That made me feel very uncomfortable. That whole scene. Very uncomfortable.
Old buddy's talking about stuff. Here's your belch scene.
Can you belch?
And then she goes, it's not her, though. Yeah.
Stunt belching.
Stunt burper.
Stunt belcher.
It's done killing.
I'm done killing.
No. Well, yeah, you are, but your friend there isn't.
Yeah.
Vengeance time.
What are you going to do?
What I do best. I'm going to kill him. Anyone I was involved, anybody who profited from it, anybody who opens their eyes at me.
You kill them all.
Kill them all.
that little music in the background.
Oh, yeah. Bow, bow, bow,
bow. Yeah. It gets real good. Later starts going.
The music in this movie, I'll touch on it again. Music in this movie, not its strong suit.
I thought it was okay. It's fine.
It's okay. That's how I felt about
there
it.
There were moments, but I agree. It's not like crucial.
I do like the use of Blue Bayou by.
They used that a lot, but it was good.
That was a fun little theme throughout the whole deal.
It was, yeah.
Wasn't there something recent where she got like all kinds of exposure? What was it? Some movie or TV show where Linda Ronstadt's music played like a huge part to the point of like it sold a ton of records the next day in real life. I mean, people saw it and then like, oh, I know what it was. Episodes of The Last of Us. They had a whole Linda Ronstadt thing.
The romantic episode with Ron Swanson and
that's it.
Yeah.
And that thing ended up being she sold like a million records the next week or something.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I didn't ever even heard that song prior to that show. All right, here's a weird text line on screen thing. Oh yeah. So they did this little weird transition to say, "Meanwhile, at the police station."
Yeah.
And they had I don't know why they had to do that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Too much. Some of that stuff was too much. You're making me nervous.
You're making me f***ing nervous.
I love that
guy.
You're making me effing nervous.
Great line about art and death.
Creasy's art is death. He's about to paint his masterpiece.
See, that's that whole thing. That whole like, oh, you don't even know what bag of shit you've opened with Creasy.
Yep. Are we supposed to think, you know, sometimes the main character's name is like similar to another word, so you're like thinking, oh, like Reacher or whatever. Do you think we're supposed to think Crazy or Greasy?
Oh,
for,
Greasy, Creasy.
In the Greasy. Heat in Mexico, in a car full of smoke, blood, and sweat, Greasy. Yeah, Greasy. I'm going with Greasy. Okay. Yeah,
all right, fair
Greasy.
Enough.
Yeah, good point. I kept saying Greasy by accident, so I'm sure everyone else did.
I like how Walken called him Crease.
Yeah.
Crease.
Yeah.
You got time for no E's?
No.
His job is to arrange a meeting, says this clip.
Forgiveness is between them and God. It's my job to arrange the meeting.
I like that. It's a good line. So,
yeah, I love that.
Here he is making papa noises. There you go. That was him getting ready to shoot the missile out of the window.
I did like the old couple who were having to wait around for that shit.
Oh yeah, that was a funny. That was a funny thing. Well, in fact, he's the one that talked about the meeting, I think, too.
Yeah.
Here's we heard this.
He tuck it up their rectum.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
damn near killed him.
He gets so medical with that. Like instead of saying, "Man, I'm taking this thing and I've shoved it up your butt,
shoving up your ass, put it right in your butthole up there." That's what I did. The lower part of your colon. You're welcome.
My rewatch of Sopranos doesn't help because that's what they say. They're always like, "I'm going to stick this gun right up your ass," like that. And in this one, he's like, "I'm going to place it in your rectum and plus press the button." All right, he's listening. I wrote,
"I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening."
He says it three times.
He does. I am listening.
Two more times.
Why would you call and not speak? When you call someone, you're ready to speak.
It is weird, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think if you say you're listening three times, it's fine. If you say it five times, bees come out of your mouth. So you got to be careful.
can someone? Yeah. I need help here. Because like you're clearly not playing any Mickey Rourke because there wasn't any, and I desperately want to go sit and watch a movie where Mickey Rourke talks a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious. Can anyone name one?
Yeah. Angel Heart.
The Angel Heart.
One of my favorite horror movies of all time. He does a lot of tucking in Angel Heart.
Is that the shotgun in the groin deal?
Jeez Louise. Yes. It's like
naked Lisa Bonet is the only thing Scott knows about that movie.
Yeah,
exactly.
How can you hear anything after that? I can't.
Like, I actually want to challenge Scott right now without looking anything up. Scott, who is the other super famous actor in that movie besides Mickey Rourke?
So Mickey Rourke, Lisa Bonet, and
one of the most famous actors of all time.
Robert De Niro's in that, isn't
Thank
he?
You. Okay,
there you go. Okay, good.
We're good.
I kind of remember him in there, sort of.
Yeah,
but the shotgun and the crotch—that's what I remember the most.
Okay. Thank you for that. I will have to watch it alone.
Yeah.
Like Man on Fire. My wife sat and watched dutifully the first third of the movie, and then when danger closed. danger was closing in on a little girl, she was like, I'm done.
Yeah. It's hard to watch.
We have seen...
Tina has problems with just like overall violence. She won't see any John Wick movies just because the violence is so excessive. So those I have to watch solo.
So those feel like cartoony violence to me, but I guess I get it. They it's like do, nonstop gunshots to the head and face.
No,
and,
cartoony violence is RRR.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Cartoony violence is not a guy getting his fingers chopped off and blood skirting on the windshield and then getting it cauterized. That's not cartoony violence, is it?
Did we do Angel Heart? We did.
We did.
2016. Yeah. Okay, I couldn't remember if we did.
Yeah.
Finally, this clip. This is, when you're sure it was the Berenstein Bears or Stein or whatever, but you want confirmation, this is what you do.
You tell her to tell you to tell me what she called her bear.
There you go.
What she calls her bear.
Her bear.
Her bear.
Creasy bear.
If there was a little bit of a language barrier, wouldn't you say that in Spanish? I felt like, is it what called her what?
He was very fluent, so you'd think he would, but they were all over the place with the language stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was never sure if they were doing that because in some shows and TV shows or whatever, I started watching that Warrior thing because I think Ibit recommended it, the series Warrior, Chinese mafia stuff. And
no, well, that one was not me.
Who was that? Someone recommended that. I can't remember. HBO thing. Anyway, it's a period piece set in like the turn of the century, San Francisco, Chinatown stuff. Anyway, they get off the boat and everyone's doing subtitle Chinese until the camera does this weird slow motion loop around a room. They're all talking. And then from then on, everyone just talks in English. Doesn't even affect an accent. They're just...
I feel like we saw that on FilmSack. We saw that exact movement.
We saw that recently with a movie, and the movie was...
And the movie was...
Someone went to Japan.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Yes, and as the camera pans around... Underworld? Was it Underworld?
Oh.
If they're speaking a language, and then they kind of pan around, and as they pass behind somebody's head... The language changes and you're not seeing subtitles. You're hearing English.
Were they speaking vampire? Or
I
something?
Think it was, but it was Russian.
It was Russian.
This is familiar to me.
I'm having a major
We've seen too much.
Black Rain.
The problem.
Black Rain.
Black Rain.
Black Rain.
Oh yeah, it's totally Black Rain. What was that, like 10 years ago now?
When did we do Black Rain?
We did Black Rain like 12 movies ago. Or 13, 14 movies ago. Right before Cocaine Bear.
April. Yakuza. Yeah. That's it. That's what Black we saw. Rain. You're totally dead on, dude. That's it.
That was it.
Yeah. Well, Warrior does the same thing is the point.
This summer.
That's the point.
This summer has been so brutal. This summer has filled our brains with stuff that we're already forgetting April.
I know, right? I don't like 2023 is weird. I love it and hate it. It's a weird year. It's something about it.
Yeah.
Just a follow-up question. For my Mickey Rourke fix, anybody want to suggest Sin City?
Oh, I'd do that.
No. Sure.
You want to suggest? You haven't watched it? Are you saying? What are you?
I have seen it. I'm just like, I'm trying to get a particular thing.
I mean, do you get, is there a lot of, does Mickey Rourke talk a lot in that? Because it's really just the,
he talks like, a pretty good bit in the
story where he's trying to find, Jamie King, right? Is the one. Right.
Yeah. I think he talks a lot.
No. He's the.
He's the big brutish guy.
He's the big brutish guy
with the band-aids on his face and stuff.
Yeah,
I can't think of his name.
There's a couple of scenes, pretty big scenes in Expendables that he just goes on and
on. Yeah, he just sits and talks to.
I think we did that one though, didn't we? The first one.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that new one's coming out. You know,
I'm sorry, I will stop derailing. We have a time commitment here.
I hear the new.
Oh, that's right.
By the way, I hear the new Expendables is R, like hard R. That's what I heard.
Hard air.
Yeah, they've been PG-13.
Hard air.
They've been PG-13 up till now, so I don't know what to expect from that.
Death,
anyway,
mayhem.
Maybe some actual blood. I don't know.
Right.
all right, let's get to... that was the last of those. So here comes these. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Unusually subdued Christopher Walken performance. Check. The ghost of John Woo haunts the film. Check. True. Did Wick before Wick was Wick? Check.
Pre-Wick.
Pre-Wick.
Pre-Wicked.
Pre-Wick is correct. Let's get to the Star Trek connections. Gotta be somebody here, right?
Not really. At least none of the cast. I was actually surprised that none of the cast, like Giancarlo Giannini, had ever been in Star Trek. So I plucked out two that I found kind of interesting. One is a stunt guy named Chuck Pisserni Jr. So Chuck Pisserni Jr. did some stunts in this movie. Also did stunts in Star Trek 3 and 4, which just seem old. I'm like, is Chuck Pisserni Jr. an old man doing stunts?
He's a senior now?
Must be.
Right.
Yeah.
They need old guys for stunts.
Was he the belcher, though?
Maybe. Maybe.
Stunt belcher.
Yeah, maybe his stunts weren't very taxing.
Right.
The other one I noticed was F. Hudson Miller, who is our supervising sound editor. This movie had pretty good sound editing, in my opinion.
Why does Dakota Fanning feel like she's been in some kind of Star Trek thing? Why am I thinking
she hasn't.
That's weird.
This F. Hudson Miller fellow.
F. Hudson Miller. Yep.
Was also the supervising sound editor for Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. And guess what else? Mm. Bad Boys 2, Pearl Harbor, Gone in 60 Seconds, Enemy of the State, Armageddon, The Rock, Patriot Games. Apparently, this guy has done sound editing on an enormous percentage of film sec movies.
Yeah. And this whole era we're talking about, these kinds of action movies. That's crazy. Yeah. Nice. Let's do a soundtrack grade. I'll give it a G for great mix of things. I thought it was fine. It's fine.
Fine.
I got really tired of Claire de Lune. Why do we keep playing Claire de Lune? It was exhausting. I've been there like six times.
That reminded me of what his brother did with, what's it called? The Black Hawk Down movie.
Please, would somebody join me in being tired of that song?
I love that song. No, it makes me think of the end of Ocean's 11 when they're all standing in front of the Bellagio fountains.
Or The Martian, or Shrek. Yeah. It's in Shrek. Yeah.
Oh. I was in Shrek. I never did.
Shrek has everything.
I have no complaints about it
yet. Shrek is basically just a giant music video.
Give Ibbit three or four more movies with it, and then maybe I'll join the team.
It hasn't reached Wilhelm Scream levels of hate for me yet.
Yeah, and it's not quite Hallelujah, that one version.
Oh, yeah, Hallelujah. Come on.
Or any version.
Any version, really. It's unfortunate. It's not as bad as We Built This City. We can all agree. All right, let's move on.
Oh, yes, correct.
Let's do the Twitter post, or what we call now the social media post, because F Twitter. Let's sum this thing up in 280 characters or less, though, and I think this week it'd be best if we started with Randy.
Man on fire. Denzel Washington's acting is fine. Why's every house got a Catholic shrine? Husband was still full of nothing but lies. If Creasy'd kiss that lady, no big surprise. And why are the real payoffs always off screen? It would have been nice for more to have been seen. This all should have felt more like Predator, if only they'd had a goddamned editor.
Good job.
That was a strong finish. I like that.
Yeah.
Very nice. Brian Dunaway, your turn.
No rhymes. Man on fire. Like a little Jack Daniels for sleeping, a little Jack Daniels for waking up, a little Jack Daniels for driving, and a little Jack Daniels to free this bird. Hashtag free bird. Hashtag no liars. Hashtag cause this man is flammable and on fire.
Flammable and on fire. I like that. Yeah. Hey, Brian Ibbett, round us out.
Man on fire. I'm going back someday. Come what may to Chicago, as well as Franklin Gothic Bold and Impact.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, you saw that, did you?
I didn't know. The Chicago for the timer font with the,
I'm all, when our typography comes into play in life, I'm always happy about that.
Oh, it's my superpower that is never ever going to be of use for anything.
Nope.
And I just want to go show. Back. Yeah. I want to go back to this point I'm really trying to make that I didn't bring up yet because of my post. There's something about the movie Predator that I feel like Tony Scott should have learned from. Like what John McTiernan does in that movie is he uses what you see, how you see characters looking and how like they're scared and you see them moving and doing things. It's just like, I don't understand why this movie wasn't shot more like Predator. It would have been fantastic if I had been, I don't know, like nervous about him succeeding in his mission. I never felt nervous at all. You know, the entire sort of the movie, I'm just like,
because there's lots of times he's walking around bleeding. I was just like, okay, I guess he's just never gonna die. Okay,
check. When that shot to the chest and he's not really reacting, I just went, okay, is there a supernatural element to this? Like, what are we doing here? Nicely done. Let's get to the what do I usually do after this? Oh, I do
emails.
What do I usually do next? Anybody know?
Oh, I know. Alternate titles, everyone. Look at these.
Yes.
Camera pan on fire. The thing was all over the place. Or old Harry Paco has an ass full of C4. Oh, what do we got? Sorry, my wife just showed up with food when I brought up a butt full of bomb. Butt bomb. Thanks, honey. Butt bomb.
Bomb.
I'll need that after yesterday. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to this here email. Actually, it's a voicemail. I love these voicemails. These are great. They keep sending these in. 801-471-0462. We got a call about Prada, or the Devil Wears Prada, and that we should see it if we haven't. Here you go.
I was just calling you guys regarding the Devil Wears Prada. This is Jeannie Soros. Jeannie. Anyway, I just kind of wanted to call and say that I'm with Scott in that when I don't see a movie that people insist that everybody sees, I start to resist wanting to see it at all. Yeah. And Devil Wears Prada was one of those movies. I did watch it a couple of years ago, and it was much better than I thought it was going to be. It's not something that you should see, but I think that you would all probably enjoy it. And Scott, I think you would enjoy watching it with Kim. Take of that what you will. Have a great day.
You guys all seen it? I've never seen it.
I have not seen Devil's
never seen
Wears Prada.
I assumed it was for the ladies.
I have
and not
seen
for me.
It, and I love it. And yeah. I always want to ask the resident contrarian, Brian Dunaway, do you have that same thing where you like if people start really telling you to see something, you're just not going to do it?
Believe it or not, no, I'm not like that. If someone says you should really watch something, I'll watch it. I may not watch it right away, but it's on my list. I hear you. It's like, oh, I hear you.
For me, it's weird. Yeah, it's like movies are different than TV shows. Like I recently just barreled through things that Ibbett in particular has recommended on Recommendals, because when he talked about it, I went, ooh, that sounds like me. And I watched it immediately. But when people, I do have this thing when people want to get movies down my throat, even though it represents less than the 12 hours I spent on the 12 episode season I just watched, it's only going to take me two or whatever. I'm weirdly resistant. It's not that I don't want to see it, or it's not the people telling me. It's just, I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. It's weird.
You also have FilmSack, and FilmSack takes up a pretty big chunk of every week of your life.
That's
right?
True. Yeah. It takes, these not only take time, but they take, you know, mental energy, and we capturing clips from it and thinking about all the ins and outs. I'm not just enjoying a film. Uh-huh. So I think that maybe is part of it, but I also will, maybe that's why I like to slip in documentaries in the meantime. You know,
Where do you slip them in?
Your bum. Get Denzel Washington to come over with his gloves.
Yeah, he could put it up my bum.
Here's another documentary. Now tell me.
Right. Tell me right now.
What are you going to watch, Parasite?
That's right. We also got another text from a dude named Arborist Andrew.
Oh.
Same phone number, just used it as a text line. And he says this: I have a question about 65. Kylo Ren had a picture of his child on the console of his spacecraft as it crashed, rather than a family photo with his child and his wife. Is it normal that when you have a kid, that child becomes more important to you than anything else, even your wife? Or is this a movie trope? I'm married and I have thought about having children, but I can't imagine anything in this world being more important than my wife. I'm sure y'all have a different viewpoint, given that you are all parents. Love what you do, Arborist Andrew. I don't think it's a either or. It's a, I can tell you right now, when my kids were little and I could do backgrounds on computers or phones, I would have put my kids on those, and my wife's not on that. Mm-hmm. If like now I'm looking at it now, I got Van and Phoebe on there. That's not even one of my kids.
There's a cool function, by the way, the iPhones and other phones. Androids probably had this for a while, but you can set it so that every hour it changes your background, pulls from a different
favorite photo.
Yeah. Or from a collection of like, okay, all my Tina photos, all my Tristan photos, and all my pet photos is what mine currently does. But my thinking is, you know, with your wife, you can create another child, but with your child, you can't create another wife. So
now that's very interesting. I like that take. Now in context to the movie 65, the reason why I believe he had the picture is because she was sick and dying. And she was on his mind, and it was in his entire motivation for doing this thing that he did not want to do. And he needed that reminder.
Yeah. And it would have been weird if it had been a picture of the whole family and he cut his wife's face out. Then we'd have a different discussion.
It's like
a great question.
It's like the Homer thing with the, in the Simpsons, he's, you know, working in the, power plant, and there's all these, like, there's this, I can't remember what episode it is, but he covers up a whole bunch
probably
of
grimy.
Different warnings. Yeah, maybe. Covers up a whole bunch of different warnings on this wall and right. puts a picture of Maggie in the middle. And all the letters that he covers up spell do it for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah.
It was one of those episodes where I went, oh, cartoons can make me tear up and choke up.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
bastards. And then they did it. Futurama did it with the damn dog. You effers.
Yes.
Bastards.
Ah, the dog.
Anyway, bastards. Thank you for the text and for the voicemails, 801-471-0462. You can also filmsack@gmail.com. That's an email address.
Commas.
Is that the Greek?
That's the Greek. Yeah, that's the one. And we'd love to hear from you. Our next film. I got to do Patreon first. Check this out. Patreon, okay? We use it to help fund the show. If we didn't have it, we'd be screwed. The show would not be able to make any money at all, and we would be kind of like out in the wind. Who knows how things would go. But because of your fine help and support, we continue to roll on. And we'd love to have you guys in this brand new month of September to join us so that you can never have to deal with commercials. You get pre-show content every week, a real good one today, I think. So, and you get all these in perpetuity. You can go back and listen to the previous ones as well once you join up. I think you guys will really like it. You get movie-related art prints from me in the mail, other cool monthly stuff, but you can't get any of it if you don't sign up today at patreon.com/filmsack. Okay? That's all I'm saying. It's not hard. It's easy. Go get in there today and support your favorite movie show. And to everyone who already does, our massive thanks, your direction.
Thank you so much.
You're the best. Our next film. I don't even know. I didn't write it down. We're sneaking something in.
Yeah. We have been convinced by this week's events. We have been convinced to watch and sack The Flash.
Let's go. My gosh. The Flash. Brand new. Out on Max. Right? Max.
Another week on the Max.
Yeah. We
should start calling ourselves Film Max.
Film Max. Yeah. We are on Max a lot. They get the movies, right? It's like HBO always does.
They took all the cartoons off, but whatever.
Dicks. But they left some crappy ones, so it's all right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just something.
They got rid of the old Flintstones and the old Jetsons, and all they have on there is the ones where they tried to reboot it, and they're terrible.
Ooh, horrible.
Terrible, Brian.
Is that the one John Kay did? Didn't he do
no,
one?
No, well.
Or was it, that the he? Yogi ones? That was the...
I don't know. Did you do that before?
John Kay did some from your Ren and Stimpy.
Did you do that before he started slapping the ass of people at his office? And
he'd been doing that his entire life. And, he lived in Canada. And so since he could, whether you should or not.
Well, wait a minute. What does Canada have to do with it?
Well, you can date. He exploited people. But I think you can be in physical contact with people 16, I think. And unlike the U.S. So he's in Canada. So he could. Yeah, I think he could legally get away. Ethically, not so much.
Is that true?
Canada has laws that you can get it on
with a 16-year-old?
I'm not 100% sure on that. That's just what I read. That's internet information.
That doesn't sound right to me. Sam, Randy, ask Sam, what's the age of consent in Canada?
I'll get back to you.
All right, let us know.
I'll get back to you. Right.
Anyway, that's next week. The Flash. Be ready for it. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. And as I mentioned earlier, patreon.com/filmsack would go a long way to keeping the show alive forever. Filmsack@gmail.com. And leave us reviews wherever you get your shows. That helps us out a lot as well. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
None your business.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
You're making me f***ing nervous.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.